By gentle parent, half of the day, and the other half of the day, I'm gonna sound like DMX. By 8 p.m., I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like...
Hey, Jamaica!
You should hear Zion say it, actually. I'm your co-host, Michaela.
I am Yami. I'm also the co-host. We're both hosts.
Hostesses.
Yes, hostesses with the mostesses.
Exactly.
How was Jamaica?
It was amazing. Yeah. I'm still on island time.
Oh, mm-hmm. Was it? Did you figure out that you and Dakota are actually like...
We like each other.
You like each other. It's just them kids, right?
It's literally them kids.
That's always the case. Whenever Alex and I spend time alone, we're like, man, this is nice.
I do like you. Like, you're cool.
You know, like, it's just these kids.
Yeah.
They're little cock blockers. Anyways, I'm sorry. Sorry, that was lame.
So, I know we wanted to talk about Diddy. Are we going to talk about Diddy for a few minutes? Or do you think we have time?
Listen, we can jump into... current topics real quick. Did he do it or did he not?
Diddy did it.
I think he done did.
He did.
I always believed Cassie, just on principle. I always believe victims. And it was too specific, too detailed for it to be fake. And also, like, you settled very quickly out of court. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
Well,
he
the
did.
Other thing is, he did I can that. Remember, like, even the Dave Chappelle episode about, like, when he did making the band. I just remember thinking, like, there's something about Diddy that's off, and I've always felt that way. Mm-hmm. And then when it, like, all surfaced, I was like, unfortunately, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I feel horribly for Cassie. However, I'm not surprised. Like,
no.
I always felt like something was off with this man. And
I feel like he's been on some other stuff for a while, but the way it works in our community, it's like more shameful for him to be messing with dudes than it
yes.
is for him to do other stuff, which, you know,
yeah,
sad.
people are more concerned, like, is he gay? Than is like,
I know,
put his hands on people and he's being nasty, guys, like,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, he did. And I mean, I don't know. He has a lot of money and a lot of lawyers, I'm sure. So, and he posted something like it was the dumbest apology ever.
He couldn't even say her name.
He didn't even really say it. It wasn't even giving like, I'm sorry. It was just more like, I'm sorry I got caught.
Yeah.
But I noticed in the background, it looked very non-extraditable.
Yeah, he's looking like he's with Russell Simmons right now.
So, like, I don't know where he at, but...
And I don't remember the results of that raid either. Did anything come
out
of that?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep you guys posted on current... I get most of my information from Twitter. Or not from Twitter, from TikTok.
Yeah.
So,
I deleted my now ex a couple years ago just because... I got a new phone and it kept making me sign in like almost every time. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So I signed in and I just deleted the app and I never turned back.
TikTok, the TikTok ban, which is technically not like super current news, but like that sucks. Because
TikTok is where you sent me like recipes and stuff.
I know.
I'm writing it down in my recipes and shit book because I don't want to lose anything.
It's just wild that this is what these people agree on is to get rid of my funny videos.
If they ban it though, they should keep all that's on there should just stay on the app. So
yeah.
There's like so much undiscovered stuff, you know? Like we can still go through for a long time and find
exactly.
You just can't upload anything.
You just can't
new.
Make new.
Yeah.
I get that. I agree.
Like let that be the cloud. Like if it gets banned, like that's
I know.
The cloud.
Like sometimes I'd be missing Vine. Remember Vine?
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Like
I remember
those
Vine,
were the days.
Like, I would lay in my dorm and just like go to bed watching Vine. Like just
those,
6 seconds
those
of
the,
just amazingness.
Yes. If they're gonna get rid of all that stuff, then they should probably bring back that show, America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah.
Like a version of that for like so that we could still get our fix. Because I don't know what some of y'all be doing on the Tickety Talk, but I just go there for funsies. Like,
but honestly, it makes a lot of jobs too. Cause like I've been looking at job postings and stuff, and it'll be like TikTok creator, content creator. And I'm
like,
Cause
what
I
is it
stumped.
That you do again?
I am a TV producer, I guess. Produced stuff for Oxygen, Tubi, Amazon Prime, and HBO before. Okay. So that's my little resume if anybody's listening.
Are you even best friends with your best friend if you know what they do? I'm like, she works from home. That's what she does. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. You have a pretty impressive resume.
Thank you.
Slay.
Today, we're going to talk about, this is part one, Yami's story, pregnancy, childbirth.
My pregnancy journey.
Yeah, your journey. This is called, you know, nobody warned us because nobody warned us. Nobody told us the ugly side of pregnancy. You might hear some things, but usually it's the pretty stuff and it's, just wait till that baby gets here and whatever. So today I'm going to let Yami tell her story. I might butt in with some questions, but
I was hoping you would butt in with some questions to prompt me.
Yeah. So I guess let's start off with, how did you feel about motherhood before you were even pregnant?
Ooh, child. I was very indifferent. This is a safe space, so I'm going to be transparent. I was very indifferent. I didn't really want children. It wasn't something that I was longing for in my spirit. I was totally fine with it just being me and Alex and our dog forever. I mean, it's silly to think that way, you know, it's silly to think that, like, that's how I used to see it, view things. But yeah, I didn't want to be a mom. I was totally okay. You know, I was content, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything.
I would say you're not missing out on anything. I guess we'll definitely get to my story. But for me, I always knew I wanted to be a mom, but, like, that push to be a mom was more because of Dakota's siblings having kids already. So it's like, I'm surrounded by kids already. So, like, you know, even though I was young, I still felt like, okay, like, I could do this. But so how did you find out you were pregnant?
So when two consensual adults have, okay, I'm kidding.
Mommy cat and a daddy cat.
The birds and the bees. Okay, so I know how it happened, right? We all know, we're adults, but I wasn't expecting it to happen. It was in 2019. I was living my best life. I was living with Alex. We had a dog. We got the dog because I was having baby fever. We got Yuki because I was having baby fever, and my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time. We weren't married. Scandalous. He was like, well, you're having baby fever? Well, we're not ready for that, so let's get a puppy. So we got a puppy, and then I got pregnant, like, a month and a half later. But
it was that soon after getting
it
Yuki?
It was really that soon.
Thought you had Yuki for at least, like, a year
They're basically, like, the same age, essentially. But, and it was really weird because I didn't have any of those normal symptoms that you see in TV and movies where it's, like, you're throwing up and you're sick. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden you realize, oh, my period didn't come.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. My period wasn't late. I just had a feeling that it wasn't going to come. That's the best way I can put it. I've always been really regular. I've always been really in tune with my body. I just had a really strong feeling that I was like, because normally when you have your period, you know when it's about to come.
It's just so funny when you know your body, and it's it's always crazy because, like, your period and pregnancy symptoms can be so much alike.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I actually, when I had which now I know is implantation bleeding, but at the time I confused that for a period.
I never had that.
Basically, implantation bleeding is when you're getting, so, like,
the egg,
you've,
like,
already done the deed and the egg is getting implanted. Sometimes that causes a little bit of bleeding.
Yeah.
And sometimes, a lot of times, women mistake that for a period. And they're like, okay, whatever. And then next thing you know, they're on the...
But it's usually shorter than a period, right?
Yeah. It was, like, really short, but I was like, okay, I spotted. I'm good.
Yeah.
So I just didn't think nothing of it. And then, but then I was like, something's not right. Like, so I was very, I've always been, like I said, very in tune with my body. I've always been really regular. And just for shits and giggles, I bought a pregnancy test, took the pregnancy test. It immediately said that I was pregnant. And the first person I told was Alex. And I was scared. Mm-hmm. Because everything I thought I would do up until that point, it was just complete 180. Like, I've always been pro-choice. I know this is kind of controversial for me to say as a Christian, but I've always been pro-choice. So I honestly thought, like, if I ever felt the need, that was something that I would do. This was obviously years ago before Roe v. Wade got overturned. But honestly, my mind didn't even go there. It was just like, oh.
It's just like, okay, I'm pregnant. This is happening.
Yeah. And so I told Alex, and he was awesome. He was like, we can figure this out. Like, whatever you want to do, like, we can do this. And we like I said, we weren't married. We lived with our roommate was his brother, so my brother-in-law. We all shared an apartment and whatnot. And that's what happened. It was unexpected. He wasn't in my plans. AJ was not in my plans. He was in God's plans. Amen. So he was not in my plans. He was it was a total surprise. And so the thing is, when I called the gynecologist, which also people don't tell you, but you make the appointment, and this is kind of how it goes. So, like, you find out you're pregnant, you call the gynecologist, and they're like, okay, so when was the date of your last period? And then you tell them, like, an estimate, because you never really know.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay, so you're soon. So, okay, well, we normally don't start doing scans until, like, the second trimester. So come back this day.
For and me, then it was I'm like 8 weeks. It was like, come back in 8 weeks. And I was like, oh.
And then you hang up the phone, and then that's it. There's no counseling. There's no like, hey, how are you feeling? Do you want to come in and like talk to us? Do you have any, like, they didn't tell me anything about prenatals. Eventually they did, but not on the phone. Like,
you go in and then you wait, and you're sitting there like, is this even okay?
I know. Like, and it's like, I didn't get any, you don't get any coaching.
The
other
thing that they don't tell you is the first ultrasound is, at least for me, they were vaginal.
Yeah.
So, because the baby's too small.
So, like, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know. So, I got
because
in there.
In the movies and in TV, it's always they scan the belly. Yes. So, I didn't know that.
No, for me, it was different. It was definitely different. A different experience, a different kind of experience. And I wish somebody had warned me beforehand.
I wish somebody would have warned me.
I know plenty of people who have had kids and nobody said.
Nobody, exactly. This is the thing.
Nobody said.
This is what really jams my Glock.
That's why, like, I said nobody warned us.
Nobody told me. And all the movies and even what some of us, you know, we remember our moms being pregnant. It's like, it never occurred to me that, like,
no, I was like, oh, that jelly's gonna be so cold.
She's like, no, it's like a wand. And they put it up in there and then make sure that you can see the little peanut, because, you know, at that point you can't make anything. But I felt like so uneasy. I had a lot of anxieties because I was like, wait, so I don't need to do anything until the appointment, which is like weeks away.
Four weeks you go. Yeah.
And they were like, no, they didn't even tell me stop eating sushi or what, like nothing. It was just like, okay, we'll see you when you're a little further along. Bye. That's it. Which is so messed up.
I feel like that should be a first, like a conversation on the phone, like, okay, you got a positive, you know, whatever. And then, like,
how are you feeling?
Because that's such a big moment.
You know, are you taking any medications should stop? You know, like, I was on antidepressants and stuff. I didn't know if I would. Yeah, like, no, I didn't until my first appointment. they didn't tell me. They didn't give me any guidance whatsoever.
Those are things that, like,
I thought in the movies and stuff, you call and then you go get a scan, yeah, and then they scan your belly and it's like, oh, baby. And it's like, yeah, you know, no.
And then you think about people who...
Which might be different in other countries too, but we live in America. That's so true. You know,
but you think about the people who, like, we have social media, we have like our phones, the internet. Like, mm-hmm. Think about 20 plus years ago before we had the internet in our hands. And I know. People are like, what do you do? Like, the first thing, I will say this, because I do want to tell my story next week. The first thing my mom did was take me to Barnes & Noble, and she got me What to Expect When You're Expecting. And I was like, I feel like it's a staple, but, like...
That's cute. I actually never read it. I saw the movie, but I never read the
book. Never read it. She bought it, and it just collected dust. I was like, I'm not reading that big-ass book.
No, what I did do was I got the little app that, like, tells you, okay, your baby's the size of this.
Yeah, and, yeah. Like, I had, like, three or four of them.
What's that app called? Like, My Pregnancy or My
Something. I had Pregnancy
something,
Plus or
so,
something like...
But, yeah, it, like, basically, and then it, like, gives you an estimated due date. Because I didn't even get a due date or nothing. And not that that mattered because he was early, but... that was scary. And I was an adult, you know?
That's like, a good point, though, like, not getting, because I've never thought about that, but not getting anything over the phone. It's just scheduling the appointment, and then if you find out at 4 or 5 weeks, you're waiting 3 or 4 weeks before you can even go in.
They estimated that I was about, like, 6 weeks when I found out, which is crazy, because, I had to wait. And it feels like forever, obviously.
And you're sitting there like,
anxious, like,
especially because you're like,
and it's your first.
Am I doing anything?
Yeah, like, and it's like, it was my first pregnancy and whatnot, and I didn't have any close friends at the time that were pregnant, you know. So it was interesting because they didn't tell me that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. How did you tell Alex? Like, were you just like, hey, I'm taking this test?
No, I didn't tell him I was taking the test. I told him afterwards. I remember it like it was yesterday. We were both off. I woke up, took the test, found out that I was pregnant, and he was already in the kitchen awake making breakfast. And we were both alone in our apartment with our dog. And I went up to the kitchen and I'm like, hey, so... I took this test and it said that it's positive, so I guess I'm pregnant. and I wish I could replicate the look on his face because it was gold. Like, it was like happy, shocked, confused, excited, and then also extremely cautious because he didn't know what I wanted to do at that point. Yeah. So he told me eventually that he didn't want to be too happy because then he didn't want to make me feel bad in case I didn't want to keep the baby or it was just I wasn't prepared. Like, I wasn't expecting it. Like, it was crazy. And at that point we had already been together like 5 years. So I didn't, we had done stuff.
So, were you on birth control?
No.
Ever?
I was when we first started dating. Okay. I was on the depot, and then I got on the implant. Mm-hmm. But it started messing with my antidepressant or whatever. So eventually I got off of it.
Oh yeah, I've heard stories about
so,
people.
So
okay, pregnancy. How, like, after you went to the doctor, how was everything?
Everything was great. I had a due date for February 14th, so I was due on Valentine's Day. He was growing how he was supposed to. We did kind of want to be surprised with the sex, but eventually we caved and we called, and they already knew, the office knew. And we had told them, no, we don't want to know. And a few weeks later we called and we're like, just kidding, just tell us.
just tell me right now.
I had a really strong feeling that it was a girl, but they were like, no, it's a boy. And I'm like, awesome. Because I kind of pictured myself at that point as a boy mom. Like, I was like,
I always wanted a boy first.
Really? Yeah. I never even thought about what order I would have. Like, I didn't, because like I said, I didn't really want motherhood.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I have three, so I'm not super close to them, but like on my dad's side, I have three older brothers. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where it comes from, because I've always been just the older sister on my mom's side. Yeah. And so I've always been like, man, like I wish I would have had like that close relationship with my brothers, because my younger siblings, they have the same dad. My brother's first and then my sister. Mm-hmm. And they bicker and fight all the time, but they love each other so much and they're best friends. And so I've always longed for something like that. And I think that's why I was like, oh, I want a boy first and then a girl. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it worked out. God was listening. God was like, you know what? Here.
God be God. He does. But yeah, it was, I had a little mishap during my second trimester where I thought we were having a miscarriage. So I had to go to the hospital. It was all a blur. I was very anxious. I'm still getting hospital bills from that
you told thing me that, that yeah,
didn't,
you told
didn't
me.
End up being. I was working throughout my pregnancies. I've worked through both of my pregnancies, and I was a CNA at the time, so my job was really, you know, physical. I was working 12-hour shifts, which probably wasn't the best. Don't recommend. But you know, it was the reality. It's the reality for a lot of moms, unfortunately. Yeah. And he was 3 weeks early, so he didn't come on Valentine's Day, but he was a big boy when he came, so he was ready, so you know.
Yeah. Hey, that's all that matters.
And the first craving I had was mangoes. I wanted mango slices. Another thing that nobody prepared me for, nobody warned me about, is like, you hear about cravings, right? Every pregnant woman has them. You hear about them, but they always make it sound like it's like, oh, like casual. At least to me, it always sounded so casual. Yeah. Bro, no. Like when I said I was like, it was like an itch that you can't scratch. Like
no,
I was
seriously.
working 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
I remember with when I got out of work, it was like 3 p.m. at this point. And I was like, I don't have any mangoes, but like, it's so hard to explain. It was
you
like,
you can't get it out of your head.
Yes, like obsessive.
I remember waking up multiple nights and being like, Dakota, I need you to go get some Krispy Kreme donuts, because I'm not gonna be okay unless you get me.
It's so hard to put into words until you actually live through it. Like it's like your whole body, like that is all that you
and
want.
Your mouth just waters
like,
for it.
Yes.
But then, did you ever have a moment where you get it and then you're like, I don't want this? Or were you always just like, no, I want my mango and I want my mango now?
Not until later on, but at the beginning, like, so I remember getting off work and I hadn't told anybody at work at the time. And my coworker was like, what are you going to do? You know, because it was still early in the day. And I was like, I'm going to go to Walmart and get me like one of those sliced mangoes that they sell like in the container. You know what I mean? Because I was like, I don't even want to mess with
peeling it. I just want to like open it and just start
but
going.
Nobody warned me about how it like consumes you, that craving mm-hmm. feeling. It's not just like, oh, I could go for it. It's a craving, I need to have this or I'm going to shoot somebody. Like, you know, like I didn't know that was a thing. And it's always play it off, and especially in the media, I feel like they always play it off like comical, you know.
And it's like, I wish they did this more realistic.
Yes.
You think it's a joke and it's like, no.
Like this is
give
real.
Give me this because everybody's in danger if I don't. Everybody's in danger if
For
I don't
real.
Get this one thing
For
right
real.
Now.
So my first craving was mangoes. I went to Walmart and got me like one of those containers of like the already prepackaged, already sliced mangoes. Mm-hmm. And it was the best. Like they weren't even ripe.
Yeah.
But it was just the fact that like I was satisfying. Yeah, it's so, like I said, it's so hard to put into words. Yeah. I hope I can do it justice for my daughter whenever she asks me, because it's like, and for my son, obviously, too, but it's like, it's unlike anything I've never had a craving.
No.
Like, it gave a whole new definition to craving. It was like,
that's what I'm saying. It was like, it was actually a craving.
Like your body,
just like, yearning for this thing you want. Like,
yes.
Yeah, that's actually.
So when people actually cry because they can't get it, so that's a real, like, that's
real
not just
feeling,
being
yeah.
funny and not being like, ha ha, oh, you didn't get, you know,
no,
there's no places
like
that are open that's selling this. And it's like, no, like, Yeah, it's like a broken heart, for real, for real. Like, yeah. not even joking.
So, let's talk about, I guess...
labor?
Yeah, we can get into labor, but is there anything else that you felt like, especially with your first pregnancy with AJ, that was just like, I wish somebody had told me
about so this? So, I read something very interesting, and I read that a lot of the normal symptoms that you get from pregnancy, so like fatigue, headache, nausea, you know, that lethargic feeling that you get, those weird cravings, those weird dreams.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yes, all those symptoms are the same symptoms that you would get if you lived near a nuclear power plant. Yeah, that's a thing. Look it up. Because, yeah, look it up. It's a thing. We live in Tennessee, so, and we live fairly close to the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. And it's a fact. You can look it up. It's verifiable. I would never get on here and tell you something that I didn't.
Why do we go through so much? Yes. Like, I'm sitting here, I've never heard this before.
Yeah. I read that and I was like, wow.
We go through crazy, so much. You know?
And the fact that, like, we're willing to do it again is
I know. We baffling. Brought that up the first time. Just, yeah. Like, our brains just are like, what we do was forget. That? What was yeah. that pain?
Yeah.
Like,
it's something, yeah. A lot of the pregnancy glow and all that stuff, that didn't happen for me. Mm-hmm. I wish somebody would have told me, because the Kardashians always made this look so easy and glamorous.
They do.
And I struggled. And I was always like a skinny mini, and having my body like stretch and stuff. And nobody told me that, you know, there's a lot of health issues that you can develop while you're literally growing a human. Mm-hmm. So I developed the pelvic, what is it called? The pelvic round ligament pain. That's what it's called.
Oh, I never had it like that.
I had round ligament pain so bad that I was on physical therapy while I was pregnant with AJ. Because I could not get relief. Because
that's first child.
Mm-hmm, and that was the biggest I had been ever in my whole life. So my center of gravity was obviously off. And And the thing is, I had it so badly that I did have like muscle relaxers prescribed. I was keen on taking them because I was pregnant, but my OB approved it.
Yeah.
But it was that bad. It was that bad. So I did physical therapy from the second trimester pretty much until like a week or two before I gave birth.
Oh my gosh, I've never... Oh.
To try to like alleviate, as like a natural way to alleviate the pain.
Oh, that's so... Like my mind just can't even think about that happening like the first time because it's just...
So I was convinced for a while that AJ was going to be like a one and done kind of thing. Like he was going to be my only child. Yeah. So I was like, I cannot possibly do this again.
And then your brain developed those chemicals.
I know. Like, and then I was like, man, he doesn't have any cousins. We could really, we should give him a sibling. Yeah. But pretty much my whole pregnancy, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this again. Mm. I'm not. And I remember even I had a YouTube channel at the time, and I remember vlogging and saying that like, this is probably going to be my only child.
It's not surprising when you come from a place of like, I didn't even want kids, and then you're like, oh, I have a kid, and it's like, or you're pregnant with your first kid, it's like, mm-hmm. Well, that's easy to just
it was bad. And I don't want to get on here and speak so negatively about such an important phase in my life, but I want to be transparent because it's not all butterflies and rainbows, and you are allowed to say, I didn't like being pregnant.
I feel like look at people...
Like, there shouldn't be a stigma attached to that.
Yeah, there's a stigma attached to it. Like, well, at least you can have kids. And it's like, I'm not saying that...
Yes. No, absolutely. I'm totally grateful. But I didn't have... it wasn't fun for me.
No. Like, you're allowed to not like things. Mm-hmm. Especially pregnancy. Like...
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, it was a magical time. You know, I had a lot of ups, you know, obviously.
And you still appreciate your body being able to do
this. Like, I've never felt more powerful than, you know, that euphoric feeling right after pushing your baby out. I felt like I could have taken down Iron Man. Like, I was like, nobody better mess with me. Like, And it's crazy. And obviously seeing your boyfriend, you know, who's now your husband, you know, be a dad and whatnot. And AJ's the first grandkid on both sides. So there was a lot of obviously special moments mm-hmm. and stuff attached to it, but it was difficult, you know. It was not something that I wanted to do again.
How was labor with AJ?
I was so miserable and so used to being uncomfortable and in pain that I did not realize that I was in labor until apparently hours later. I was at work because I wasn't due until February 14th. So I went to work. I went to
12-hour shifts.
Yes. I had my doctor's appointment. AJ was born on a Sunday. I had a doctor's appointment Friday. So I went to work on Saturday because the doctor cleared me. She said, oh, well, you're like a centimeter dilated, but you know, it's fine. So bright and early, 6 a.m., I was at work doing my thing, taking care of these old folks. And and I was very uncomfortable. And then around noon, I was, you know, I felt like, man, like this is just really one of those really bad days in my pregnancy. But, you know, I'm almost at the finish line. Let me just push through these next few days, because I would work 3 and then be off 4 and then work half. Yeah. And then, you know, yeah. So I was like, I just got to push through, and Thursday's the last day. And then, you know, I can nest, because mm-hmm. I didn't even have my nursery together. Like, I didn't have a dresser. My crib was put together, but like we had, I still thought I had like 3 weeks, you know? So I was uncomfortable. And then I remember at my last 15, which was right around 5 o'clock, I was on the phone with Alex, and Alex was like, so how are you doing, honey? And I'm like, listen, today's been rough. Today I'm really feeling it. Like, I'm having really bad Braxton Hicks and stuff. Obviously, I wasn't keeping track of how far apart they were. Nothing like that. Yeah. I was working. So I was like, man, I just can't wait for 6 o'clock because I got to go. I want to go and, you know, put my feet up and stuff. And he was like, okay, well, let me know, you know. And, you know, the person, my partner at the time, you know, who I was working with on the floor, she was actually a nursing student, and she wasn't my usual partner. And I remember when she came in that morning, we hadn't really worked together, and she was like, you're not going to go into labor today, are you? And I was like, no.
Oh gosh, she knew.
She was like, don't do that to me. And I was like, no, because I was obviously huge at this point. Go to the bathroom after I hang up with Alex, and I was bleeding. And because I had that scare mm-hmm. in the second trimester, I was like, oh, well, this can't be good.
Yeah.
So I called my partner. I walkied over to her, and I'm like, I'm bleeding. This is not good. No. You know, I'm not due for another 3 weeks. Had Alex come get me, and I called the on-call number, and they're like, oh, well, you're probably going to need to be put on bed rest. So, like, it didn't register to anybody that I was in active labor at that time. Like, they were just like, oh, go get checked out, but it sounds like you're probably going to have to be put on bed rest for the rest of your pregnancy. And I was like, okay, great.
All I'm saying is, if I'm pregnant and blood is actively coming out of me, I need somebody to be like, well, let's check you. Like,
yeah. So Alex came to pick me up. I left my car there. I didn't have my car seat installed at that time because I didn't. So, and Alex came to pick me up, and I remember telling Alex, I was like, well, they're probably going to like discharge me and just send me to bed. And so Alex was like, do I bring the diaper bag? And I was like, I mean, I guess, but I don't think we'll need it. And, turns out we didn't need it. Eventually he went back home and got the stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to the hospital, and they checked me, and, I was 4 centimeters. And, and I was like, well, what does that mean? Like, do you want me to lay down? And they were like, no, like, you're going to have this baby, like, soon, like, probably tonight or tomorrow. And I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, gosh. And again, you weren't prepared.
Nobody told me. Like, I know that the due date was supposed to be an estimate, but, you know, I thought I was fine.
There were no signs of, like, premature, like, he's coming.
No, okay, because she said that I was a centimeter dilated, but she was like, oh, a lot of women get to 1 centimeter and then they stop. So I was like, okay, whatever. I trust you. And my doctor's amazing. So I was like, I trust you. Like, you know, I'll go back to work because I need this money because I don't have maternity leave. So, like, I was racking up my paid time off to use that. You know how it goes, America. But, yeah. And then when I got to the hospital, they were like, no, we're going to admit you. So, at that point, I told Alex, I was like, you know, at least the hospital's close to the house. So I was like, can you go back and get my, you know, I had, like, an actual nightgown.
Yeah.
And I
had my socks. You had your bag packed at
least.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I had, like, my socks. I had the grippy socks. And in the bottom of them, it says, I'm going to be a mommy today. So, I tried to, you know, make it, you know, I had all my stuff. So I just, so my sister came running. My sister was my mom didn't come until it was time to push, but my sister and my husband were both there the whole night.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I pretty much had decided beforehand that I was going to try to do no medicine, like no epidural. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. There was a lot of reasons why I didn't want an epidural.
Listen, I didn't either, but we'll get to my story.
There was a lot of reasons why I didn't want an epidural. Obviously, I don't want to get too much into it, but mostly just culturally, you know, where I'm from, women typically, not that there's any shame in using drugs, obviously, but typically, you know, you feel it. You experience it without the drugs as long as possible, like nature intended. And it's actually very common. Also, when I lived in Japan, I learned something similar, that they don't really, there's a very small percentage of, you know, women in labor that actually do decide to get epidurals. Yeah. So, listen, don't let me shame you. I'm not, I get bragging rights to a certain degree, but at the end of the day, you do what's best for you, boo-boo. And after I experienced that, I got an epidural the second time. So I was like, I'm not doing this no more.
I'm reversed.
Really?
Okay. I'll get to it later. Cause I'm like, I can't wait to tell my.
Yeah. So I didn't get an epidural, which I didn't get an epidural, and I don't know. In retrospect, it really didn't mean anything, but like. I don't know. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to be like, no, like I'm doing this. I can do this. My body was made for this. Like I was built for this. Like women have been doing this for thousands of years. You know,
I could commend you though, because like you weren't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
apparently when I got in the hospital, they were like, oh, you've probably been in labor, like laboring for a few hours and you just didn't notice because you were at work. And I just thought I felt horrible.
Yeah.
And apparently I was in labor. I wasn't Braxton Hicks. Like I was apparently.
Yeah.
Those were actually
did you ever go to classes like at the
hospital?
We did
like the teddy bear university thing. Okay. It's called different in different places. But yeah, we did do the classes. But actually, the day after AJ was born, it was supposed to be the last class.
Oh my god. I had already
done the thing. So yeah, but we did learn a lot about just like car seat installation and a little bit about breastfeeding and whatnot. So yeah, that was somewhat helpful. But so I just stuck it out and 14 and a half very long hours of labor. Oh. And AJ was born. I went in Saturday and AJ was born Sunday morning, January 26th. And I don't want to cry, but it was really such a life-changing. I mean, like I love my husband, right? Mm-hmm. Like, love this guy, mildly obsessed with him. He's just my best friend, right? And so I thought I knew love, you know?
I know.
Like, I knew, I thought I was like, there's no way I could possibly, like, love anybody more than I love this man. Like, you know, he's the best boyfriend I ever had, you know? So I thought I knew love. And then once they put him on my chest, because I wanted to do skin to skin right away, and I didn't care that I tore and I needed an episiotomy, which nobody really told me that was a thing.
Another thing,
side note, an episiotomy. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that. I think it's episiotomy.
Is it episiotomy?
Episiotomy.
Is that it?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know.
I think that's it.
But anyway, I've had it done. I don't know how to pronounce it. But basically, it's when you tear from the opening of your vagina further down. and you actually need stitches. Because I didn't have an epidural or any kind of like local anesthetic, I felt all of that. But because AJ was already on my chest and he was perfect, mm-hmm. It didn't hurt. It hurt afterwards. Like, I was like, oh my God, I have stitches down there.
All those emotions, chemicals, just like hormones and everything.
I'm telling you, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced before. Like, I've never experimented with drugs or psychedelics or anything like that. But honestly, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. Because when I tell you, I could have taken down Batman. Like, I could have started wars. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt so powerful and such a divine, which now I would say Holy Spirit, but it was such a divine feminine energy.
Yeah.
In that room when I was pushing and after my son was born, that I didn't even care. And it was pretty much right after I saw him for the first time, saw AJ for the first time, that I realized, like, the person that I loved the most, which at that time before he was born was Alex. I was like, I would use Alex as a human shield. And then, so, like, nothing else mattered at that point. And I know that sounds cliche, and I know you hear a lot of moms say that, but I mean, it's, I feel like across the board, mm-hmm. all moms feel like that. Like, it's like, whether you had it vaginally, whether you had a C-section, whether you adopted, like, whatever the process was, once you actually get to hold your baby, mm-hmm. it's just, this was worth it. Like, I don't care. Like, I would do it 10 times over if it's for this baby.
Like, it's so cliche, but, like, you literally cannot picture life before them. Like, I know for me, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I remember this moment and this moment. But, like, my life, it's like, I feel like you've always been here.
Yes.
And it doesn't feel right to think that there was a point where you weren't here.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it's a bad thing when, I know some moms will get on social media trying to be cool and they'll say, like, oh, well, being a mom is not my whole personality and it shouldn't be your whole personality. And it's like, shut up, Susan. Like, nobody cares. Yes. Like, you know, okay, whatever. You have a life outside your kids, which I highly encourage. There's nothing wrong with that. But yes, absolutely. Being a mom is a big part of my personality and mm-hmm. who I am and how I move about in the world and what I do, like the sacrifices that I make. Like, being a mom is, you know, and like I said, not to get too preachy, but being a mom really is my ministry. This is the most important thing. And when you think about pregnancy as a whole, it's crazy and so powerful what we're able to do.
Yeah. Like,
we can grow humans. It's silly to think that I didn't want to be a mom because this is the most important thing. You know, like, you can tell me I'm pretty. You can tell me I'm a hard worker. The best compliment you can give me is tell me I'm a good mom.
Oh, my gosh. I tear up almost anytime somebody's like, oh, I see, like, in, you know, social media, you only want to put, like, the good things out there. But, like, people are like, I can tell you're just such a good mom and da-da-da-da. I'm like, I'm legit about to start crying. Like, my eyes are watering.
It's the best. It's also because you are working hard at
it. Yeah, you pour yourself in. Like, this is something, like, day in and day out. But when you go to bed, you're thinking, like, what can I do tomorrow with my kids? How can I make their lives better? Mm-hmm. Am I doing the right things to, like, steward them into, you know? So, gosh, that is the best compliment. Like, tell me I'm pretty cool, but tell me I'm a good mom and, like, I'm going to bawl my eyes out. So, okay. Where were you and how did you feel when the world shut down? What was life like for you before March, whatever, 2020?
Yeah. AJ was, 2 months? 2 months old, I think, at that point. Life before those few weeks before COVID, which we already had heard ramblings about.
Oh, you know, really?
COVID.
I had not heard a single thing.
We had heard, like, that fall that, like, there was this virus going around, but, you know, like, it's like, whatever.
There's always,
like,
something going around.
Yeah, it's always, like, something going around, you know. So it was rough because AJ was premature, technically. He was early, so my milk didn't arrive when it was supposed to, so that was very stressful. Because he was here, but the milk hadn't, like,
Did you have to supplement, or was it just
we did supplement just, yeah, you know, obviously because we didn't want him to be malnourished. And then when I would pump, nothing would come out. Mm-hmm. I got the free pump that you get with insurance. And the first one that they sent me was defective. I didn't know that. So I just kept pumping, and eventually TMI, my nipples were cracked.
Oh, and gosh. It's not TMI, though. Like, I feel like people need to know that,
yeah,
like, your nipples can crack and you need to put... What's that stuff on it?
Like lanolin?
Yes.
Yeah, that. Or yeah, you can use breast milk. If you have enough coming out, you can rub the breast milk on,
because no, it has a lot of healing properties. Stuff. I was like...
Yeah. So that was a thing. And then eventually, praise God for my amazing lactation consultant. But this woman at the health department at the WIC office, the lactation consultant, she was a lifesaver because she was actually the one that caught the defectiveness in the pump.
Oh, yeah.
And she was able to like fix it because it wasn't suctioning. Once she fixed this tiny bitty itty bitty part and I started pumping milk, it was... Because that hurts, mm-hmm, when your milk accumulates, when you can't get it out and the baby's not latching, mm-hmm, the way they're supposed to, and it's just sitting there, you know, and that actually can be very dangerous because it can calcify and then lead to a plethora of other health problems. So it is very important that if you are intending to breastfeed and it's not working out, please pump or try to, you know, do something to relieve, yeah, just self-express, all those things.
Use the haka, whatever.
Yeah. Like. I didn't have one of those. I had those the second time around. But this lady at the health department fixed that issue, and I started pumping, and it was like this huge weight was lifted.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I remembered her name and I could go back there and like hug her, because it was so minimal. Like the little part, it was like the suction part that plugs into the valve. Mm-hmm. I didn't put it when I was putting the pump together, I didn't put that in there because it's plastic.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, well, this is just like plastic wrapping from, mm-hmm, the packaging. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was part of the packaging because, again, nobody told me.
They tell you about breastfeeding, but they don't tell you about pumping and like, yeah, all the parts and stuff. And all the pumps or all the, yeah, the pumps are different.
Yeah. So I thought that part, that the plastic was wrapping to keep the pump, you know. So when I unwrapped it and I was putting it together, I just took essentially it's a seal to help suction because it creates that friction, right? So she installed that little thing, right, which is like the size of a dime, and it made all the difference. And I started pumping, and I finally got some relief. I tagged Alex in at night because I was like, I pumped, there's milk back there, you deal with this. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Because I, up until that point, you know, it is so mentally draining because when you're breastfeeding, you are your baby's source of nutrition. You know, the babies, it says feed them every 2 hours, but really that's just the baseline, because my babies were feeding all the time. It wasn't
the cluster feeding started so early.
Yeah, and they can't tell time, so they don't know that you just fed them, you know, or that it hasn't been 2 hours.
And they're new,
exactly.
So they're like, oh, this is giving me comfort. Like, even if I don't want to eat, like, let me just, yeah, like, just pop your boob out.
So it was such a hard time to, and then I didn't have any friends that, you know, were going through it. And the friends that I did have that had children didn't breastfeed, which is totally, you know, again, no shame. You do what you got to do. And my mom was, you know, I'm my mom's oldest baby. So it's been a long time since my mom had children. So obviously my mom tried to provide me some support, but really it wasn't, it was really the lactation consultant, and, you know, those on-call lactation hotline numbers, mm-hmm, that really pulled me through.
I never utilized those.
Yeah,
was scared that it was going to cost money, and I was like, I don't have
no
money.
There's
for
like
this.
A hotline that you can call for breastfeeding, awesome, and it's 24/7, obviously, because you're breastfeeding 24/7.
Yeah.
So you can call at 3 a.m. and there's somebody there that's going to walk you through, or if you need somebody to talk to, and whatnot. So
the more you know, because I didn't know that at all.
Yeah,
I
have two kids. There's breastfeeding hotlines. I think every state has one. So you can just put like on your Google search, Tennessee breastfeeding hotline, and it pops out a number. And I have it. I have actually a magnet on my fridge with the number, and I had it for a very long time in case I needed, you know, somebody to to talk to. And I honestly, and all the women that I talked to, all the people that I talked to were women. You're sleep deprived. You're still healing.
Yes.
Probably wearing an adult diaper with like the witch hazel and the pad. And that, see, I didn't know that the healing process, whether you've had an episiotomy or not, but definitely if you've had an episiotomy, the healing process is bonkers. Bonkers. Like, that was something that was not, you don't see that in the movies. You don't see that portrayed in media. Like, the fact that, like, not only are you trying to figure out your life as a new mom, but your organs are shifting back to their original places.
Yeah.
You're bleeding. Your stitches are healing, you know, if you have stitches.
And nobody said, oh, you're going to have this baby, until towards the end. And then it was like, oh, you're trying to make me freak out right now. I have no choice. I can't go back.
Yeah, for real.
But like, nobody was like, oh, you're going to bleed for this amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I need to.
Especially like, there was one time where with AJ, I didn't get stitches with Aria, but with AJ, I had stitches. And there was one time where I was so sleep deprived, I forgot that I had them, and I wiped normal, you know? And I thought, okay, this is how I die. Like, because the stitches popped out, and I thought I was going to bleed out, and Alex or somebody was going to find me in this bathroom because I was bleeding out because I was sleep deprived. I forgot. And I just wiped the old fashioned way. And yeah, I know.
That's the way I would have just laid there on the bathroom floor.
I accepted my destiny. I was like, this is how I die. I'm going to bleed out because I'm so dumb.
Oh,
I forgot.
Gosh.
I know. Nobody told me about that. Nobody told me that could even. Yeah. Nobody told me that. Not my mom. Nobody. Nobody told me that. I wish I would have given myself more grace. Obviously, you know, I have a husband, which I'm grateful. So this is obviously coming from a place of, you know, a certain place of privilege for sure. But even with my husband, like, there were so many things in that those first few weeks that's basically just the mom.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He can't breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
And if he went back to work, then he's working. So you got to let him, you know, obviously provide.
I know Dakota felt kind of helpless because definitely with Carolina, she only wanted me. And from birth, she's like, mom, like, don't even try to touch me. I just want my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know for him, he felt like, well, what can I do to even help you? And I'm like, you can do the dishes.
Yeah.
You can cook dinner.
I know.
You know, but like, I felt bad.
I definitely didn't think when I was postpartum that there's so many things that you seem silly, but they mean so much when you're in the trenches of like newborn stages.
Yeah.
And it's crazy looking back now that I've been a parent for 4 years, the newborn stage was actually the easiest.
I don't know how, because that was the most anxious I've ever been in my life.
But it's also like them, it's just the basics, keeping them alive, keeping them chained.
Yes.
Like, they're basically little couch potatoes. You can plop them on the little swing or whatever.
And smell.
Yeah.
Oh,
like that.
Yes.
Oh, intoxicating smell. Yeah. Like, It's messed up that that's actually the newborn phase was the easiest, but so many little acts of service go such a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have loved, like, I know people are doing meal trains now for new moms and new parents. I think that's awesome. I would have loved somebody to organize a meal train for me because I'm already trying to keep a human alive and I have to figure out dinner too. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and I'm going to, the thing is when you, especially when you're breastfeeding, you can't sacrifice yourself anymore. Like, I used to be like, oh, I'm fine. I don't have to eat. I can skip a meal. But it's like, no, I actually need these calories because my baby needs this. Like,
absolutely.
You have to.
On CBS this morning, was it that they said, and this is apparently scientists, this is an actual thing. Y'all can look it up, but apparently scientists have determined how many extra calories a woman needs throughout the whole pregnancy. Yes, just to sustain her. Not because it used to be scientists thought that for the longest most of the calories went to the babies. Actually, most of the calories are just to keep you sustain you so that your body can do what it's supposed to do to grow the baby. Guess how much that is.
Didn't they say like 50,000?
Yes. In CVS this morning, I saw it the other day. It said you need an extra 50,000 calories.
Extra.
To just sustain yourself to be able
and that's
to
the let baseline. Your body.
And that is the, yes. Yes.
Imagine having twins or like multiples.
I know. That's crazy. Yeah. They didn't even factor that in. That's just for one.
That's for one.
One fetus. Oh. Yes. It doesn't end when you give birth.
No.
That's the main thing. If you can get anything out of this episode, it's the fact that it doesn't end when... Pregnancy does not end when you give birth. The fourth trimester is very much a thing. You're learning a lot. You get sent home with this human that, you know... Like, I was just like, that's it? Y'all just gonna give him to me? Like,
I don't... I need, like, a car?
I was like, I don't even know him like that. You know, like, I don't, you know...
Don't I need a license to have a baby? Like, I feel like this isn't working.
I was like, that's it? Like, what you mean? I gotta bring him to my house. I don't know him like that. Like...
And you don't know the house like that. Like, what do you mean?
Exactly. It's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, crazy.
We do. We do amazing things.
We do.
I guess we're going to have to do a part two because now we need to know Aria's story.
We can do a part two for my second pregnancy with my baby girl.
Shout out to Aria.
She was her own special. I mean, it was a really special time. But, you know, being pregnant, like I said, with a toddler, that's with the baby, essentially. That was an experience. That was rough.
Okay, well, I guess part two is coming.
Part two coming soon.
Thank you guys for listening.
See you soon.